Good morning. With us, our political observer, Alan Shar, talking on a Wednesday morning, reviewing the major plane crash that took place yesterday in the south of France, an Airbus A320 operated by German Wings, a subsidiary of Lufthansa, crashed. 150 people died, Alan. No immediate cause for the crash. They have found the cockpit voice recorder, so I'm sure more news will follow.
I'm sure you're right, David. Everybody, when they see a crash of this kind, projects into it 1,000 different scenarios that are possible. We do know that there was a loss of contact between the controller and between the plane. We do know that it descended as opposed to dropped, which would probably or might indicate that there was no bomb or foul play of that kind on the plane. Nevertheless, you know, when there's something that leaves everybody perplexed, it creates a certain amount of tension, and we all begin to worry every time we get onto a plane.
From there to a headline in the Times this morning, rebukes from White House risk buoying Netanyahu. Tensions between Israel and the United States have soared, and even some who mainly blame Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for antagonizing President Obama over the last 6 years now see the scales flipped.
You know, I read that article in the Times, and frankly, I didn't get it because I thought it was going the other way. And there are, of course, people who will stand quite correctly behind the state of Israel, which is always under threat from, you know, a huge number of Arab countries, and they will say, okay, I've been critical of Netanyahu, but in this case, I have to stand with the country of Israel. Then there are others who will say, Netanyahu misplayed this. He went to the United States Congress. He antagonized the President of the United States, who is the biggest supporter. This country is the biggest supporter of Israel. He risked the United Nations and this country saying, okay, we're going to vote for a Palestinian state in some kind of a brokered deal, and we'll be furious with Netanyahu for having set this up. But from where I'm sitting and the people in the American Jewish community that I talk to, I haven't heard this concept that we're feeling sorry for Netanyahu. This is something that I found very interesting in the paper of record in the United States.
Now to New York and Albany. The New York State Senate Dean Skelos wields GOP clout, a headline in the Times Union this morning. Dream Act, juvenile justice shift, grand jury monitor off the budget table, Alan.
You know, there are a number of things that are going to be dropped out of Cuomo's demands with the legislature. As you know, David, I said that the governor, he overasks, and then in order to make a deal, he drops some of the more dangerous ones. For example, the DREAM Act, which would have provided resources for people here undocumented, that's been dropped. The Republicans in the Senate are saying, and I think there are many middle-class parents in this state who are furious about the idea that while they have to garner resources to pay for their kids' education, the people who are undocumented will have a better deal and a better chance of going to college than their kids who they have to pay for. I think the Republicans in the state Senate see it and are negotiating based on that. The Assembly, of course, will vote overwhelmingly for any kind of deal like that. So this is a Senate objection. Cuomo was quick to drop it out of the budget, which is an interesting question as to whether or not he actually wanted it or wanted the issue, but we'll never know. The real question will be his ethics demands. He wants to know how much every legislator is making, and that, of course, becomes something that he is being watched for. I've long predicted that we'll be able to tell whether he was serious or not based on the outcome of that one. And in that one, with less than a week to go on the budget, you had better believe that that's where the serious negotiation is going on right now.